Good evening. Please turn to Psalm 13 again this evening. In verse 1 it says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Let mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me." O Heavenly Father and gracious God, we thank you again for this midweek service. Thank you for bringing us this evening. And Lord, we pray again that you would bless us and help us with this psalm. If we look at the seasoned saint, let us learn something to make application to our life as we go through difficult times or trials, or even, Lord, if we are in a season of rest. Nonetheless, bless this evening. Speak to us, Lord. Encourage us. We ask this in your blessed and holy name. Amen. We consider Psalm 13 this evening. I would like to speak to you on the subject of from sinking to singing. This is one of those psalms that, that I believe we can all enter into, because this psalm contains the agony and depths of despair, but also the heights of joy and victory. Both extremes were experienced by David. And this is one of the reasons I love the psalm, because there is something for everyone, for every need, for every situation. And this is why we must read and meditate upon these blessed psalms. Spurgeon says this in his Treasury of David, quote, "Whenever you look into David's psalms, you will find somewhere or other see yourself. You never get in the corner, but you find David in that corner. I think that I was never so low that I could not find David in that corner, and I never climbed so high that I could not find David was above me." Unquote. So true. David's experience in Psalm 13, whatever it was, because we're not told what it is, but whatever it was, it teaches us that no matter how low he got, he looked to his God. And so this experience of David that goes from perturbation to perplexity to petition to prevailing and finally to praise, as David is found being so low, so discouraged, to which he sank into, but by God's grace goes from sinking to singing. David was so discouraged and somewhat perplexed, but when proved by God, he prayed. He prayed unto his God, and he was delivered from his despair and found in his heart filled with praise and singing. Remind me of that man in Acts 3, where we love to sing this in Acts 3:8, and it says, "And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God." This is where we see David. He got so low, so discouraged, so depressed, perplexed, prevailed in prayer. Now he's praising and singing unto God. Yet he was walking, leaping, and praising God. And no doubt this is the best place to be as a Christian, praising and singing to our God from the depths of our heart. But sadly, this is not always the case, because we go through difficulties at times. But thank God that there is a remedy found in our precious Lord Jesus Christ as our mediator, our high priest, our advocate, yes, our interceder. As we're told there in Hebrews 7:25, where it says that he ever liveth, make intercession for us. Therefore, this psalm is one of those emotionally charged psalms. Up and down is this psalm. Well, perhaps I should really say, down and up is this psalm. Four things that I'd like to share with the outline that I passed out this evening. Number one, the perturbation of David, the petition of David, the prevailing of David, and the praise of David. First of all, the perturbation of David in verses 1 and 2. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Now, in our first point, by perturbation, of course, I mean his anxiety, his worry, along with the essence of agitation and fear. But notice that David, not once, not twice, not thrice, does he ask how long? No, four times in two verses that he says, how long, how long, how long, how long? And thus, our first subpoint, the perturbing delay. How long, how long, God? Have you ever asked God this question? Going through difficulty, saying, Lord, how long? Notice the intensity of the four how longs. How long will thou forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I have sorrow in my heart? And how long are you going to allow the enemy to be exalted over me? Oh, no doubt, here we also have David's deserted feelings and his desolated feelings. He says how long so many times that the how longs almost sounds like a howling. Well, I stole that from Spurgeon, but I love that. His how longs sounded like a howling from David's heart. Well, no doubt that David at some point felt so lonely, so deserted, as he was perhaps surrounded by his enemies, and maybe facing, he felt, imminent death. There has to be a dire reason for David to say four times and question God, how long, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? And so with deep anxiety and anguish, he questions God's absence. And so this deep trial also put David in a perturbing discouragement, our second set point. As there was counseling in his soul with constant sorrow, the fearful continual struggle. David says, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? And so as David succumbed to his fear, for a moment he allowed fear to rob him of his faith. And so he spiraled down in emotional distress. He was imprisoned by his own fears. The first mistake we all do is when we go to a trial, we make that awful mistake that we want to take counsel from our own soul. We want to look to our own wisdom. But David reminds us, no doubt, that we must look away from ourselves, look away from our counsel, and look to God alone. When he was consumed in his sorrow, he confessed being defeated by his enemies. And how many times do we act like David when a trial comes our way and we feel that God has abandoned us? God has turned away. God has hid himself from us. But as you read this psalm, we also have to agree that there is a bit of irony. There is some irony in this psalm. In other words, if God had really forsaken and abandoned David, then we would have to confess that David's prayer would have been pointless and fruitless. But we know that's not true. Now, when we get to this place like David did, no doubt We feel defeated. And when it seems and we think that God is absent, then it seems that Satan is near, shooting all kinds of fiery darts to discourage us. But again, let us learn from this man, from David, who almost went against his own counsel. Because it almost sounds that David is saying, but woe is me. He's having one of those but woe is me moment that we spoke of a few psalms ago. But thanks be to God, he recovered. And the means of recovery was looking to God in prayer. Matthew Henry tells us, quote, days of trouble must be days of prayer, unquote. And so this leads us to our next point. And so secondly, we see the petition of David in verses 3 and 4. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Let mine enemies say, I have prevailed against them, and those that trouble me shall rejoice when I am moved. David went from fear to faith, or from despair to prayer. He asked God to consider him and to hear him in his present predicament. The word consider in this text in the Hebrew is to look. And so David is asking God, look upon my situation. Lord, look and hear me. And thus we have the hearing consideration. Consider and hear me, my Lord, my God. I love the language of David. And perhaps we should incorporate it into our own prayers. Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. David is asking God to rescue him, to deliver him from his present situation. No doubt it was a helping call. And then David says, lighten mine eyes, unless I sleep the sleep of death. By this phrase, lighten mine eyes, I believe David is asking God for wisdom, for heavenly wisdom. He is requesting not just any counsel or any wisdom. No, David wanted divine counseling. David wanted divine wisdom. Oh, my dear ones, instead of running to the bookstore to buy a book on help for the Christian life, no, go directly to God. And you've heard me say before you come to this pastor with your issues and problems, go to God first. Don't come to me first. I'm just a human being. Go to God. I'm not saying I won't hear you. I'm not saying I won't give you a hearing ear and pray with you. Yes, I will. But go to God first. Go to him first. Again, I'm just a mere human being. But God is supreme in all things. And so David did this. In his deep despair, he went to his God for help, not running to some Christian bookstore and buy a book on Christian counseling or look to some Christian psychobabble. No, no, no. Go to God first, as David does here in Psalm 13. And I'm not saying it's bad to have books. You know, man, I probably have over 1,000 books in my library. I love books, but I love first and foremost, the book of books, the Bible. So go to God first, as David did here in Psalm 13. So David is asking God, enlighten me with your wisdom. If not, Lord, the fearful alternative is death and defeat. Give me heavenly wisdom, else I sleep the sleep of death. I like what Spurgeon says here. He says, quote, darkness engenders sleep, and despondency is not slow in making the eyes heavy. From this faintness and dimness of vision caused by despair, there is but a step to the iron sleep of death. David's fear that his trials would end his life, and he rightly uses his fear as an argument with God in prayer, unquote. And then in verse 4, we have the hurtful cause. It says, "Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against them, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved." David, in other places in the Psalms, says the same thing, but he might use different wording, but it's the same concept. And one of the places is in Psalm 25, 1 and 2, that we love to sing also, where David says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemy triumph over me." And so David is asking for God to help him, that he can prevail against his enemy, those that were troubling him, those that would rejoice over David, not for David's own sake, not for David's prideful conceit. No, no, no. I believe it was for the glory of God. Why? Because David, I believe, was more concerned about the glory of God than himself. You see, David says two specific things. And in the outline, we said, the enemy is seeking to prevail. Let thy enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And secondly, the enemy seeking to progress over him. That is, and those that trouble me rejoice when I move. As a reminder, as believers, we face all kinds of different types of enemies, both physical and spiritual enemies, which I mean people in general, could be friends, could be relatives, could be church members, could be anybody. And then you have also the spiritual application of Satan. And so we need to learn to walk in constant recognition of this, knowing that only through the power of our great God can we also be victorious. And this is why David is so fervent in his prayer to his God. He didn't allow his enemies to prevail because they would rejoice and make mockery of David and of his God. And so David, again, main concern, I believe, was the character and glory of his God. And again in Psalms it says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me." And so David's prayer must be our prayer. Prayer, help David prevail. And so this brings us to our third point, the prevailing of David in verse 5. "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation." It's almost as if David said, "But as for me, I have trusted in thy mercy." So David went from "but woe is me" issue to now, "but as for me, but as for me." What a glorious prayer of David going through a very difficult time. We've spoken this again in Psalm 5 verse 7 when David says, "But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy name." So when we go to a trial, we have one or two things. It can be "but woe is me," and we look at ourselves. But we can look to God and say, "but woe is me," but we can say, "but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." And here we have David doing this. "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation." David is saying, "I have trusted in thy mercy," and therefore mercy always rejoices the heart, which leads us to our deliverance over any trial or circumstance. Yet we need the mercy of God. Here we have David setting his eyes upon God as his refuge. Again, Psalm 46:1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, or in the Hebrew, in troubles. Not just one, but many troubles. And so under the prevailing of David in our outline, we have two subpoints: reliance in the Savior and rejoicing in salvation. The first part of the verse, David says, "But I have trusted in thy mercy." In other words, reliance in the Savior. David's trust was in his Lord. He could rely on the God of his salvation. What is another word for trust and or reliance? It's faith. Here we see David's faith so clearly and powerful. Why? Because he was not trusting in himself. He was not trusting in some earthly wisdom. No, he was trusting in his God. He would rely on his Savior because his Savior would supply sympathy and supply strength for him in the time of his trial. The Apostle Paul reminds us of this. He makes it very clear that our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he sympathizes with us in our trials when he wrote there in Hebrews, because Christ knows what we are going through. In Hebrews 4, 15 and 16 it says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Paul is telling us that we have a high priest. I'm so thankful for that. For we have not an high, we have a high priest, but this high priest, he is able to sympathize with our infirmities, or if you wish, with our weaknesses, because he is one who had been tempted in all things like us, yet, that's a big yet, my dear ones, the impeccability of Christ, yet without sin. What a Savior, yay, what a sympathizer. Yes, David could rely upon this Savior and therefore could come to the throne of grace to obtain the mercy he needed for his trial. And therefore, with great faith, David says, "But I have trusted in thy mercy." Not only did David rely upon his Savior for sympathy, but also, secondly, we see in our outline for strength. The words of Psalm 18 epitomize this blessed strength that David is speaking about, which we need when going through a difficult trial. In Psalm 18, just three verses quickly, in verse 2 it says, excuse me, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower." In verse 32 of Psalm 18, "It is God that girded me with strength and maketh my way perfect." Psalm 18, 39, "For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that arose up against me." One more in Psalm 62, 7, it says, "In God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God." And so what a blessing to have a Savior who can sympathize, but yet also can provide that necessary strength when going through a trial. For the sake of time, I'm only going to read one New Testament verse regarding strength. Because, again, of time, there's so many verses, and we have to remind ourselves that God will strengthen us. But I'll ask you to turn to 2 Corinthians 12, where the Apostle Paul was beseeching his God. He had just mentioned that Satan had buffeted him. That's a strong word, buffeted. Punched the daylights out of him, so to speak. Nonetheless, he says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, as he comes before God I love this because now Paul says, God answered me. I love that. He comes to God in prayer. And so Paul says in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 12, and he said unto me, that is, and God said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. No doubt that David needed power, and he needed that power of his Lord and Savior. He needed that power of Christ at the very moment he was going through that trial, and the Lord provided it for him. The same thing with Paul. Regarding the text in 2 Corinthians 9, regarding the question, what is the power of Christ? Let me just answer three quick things and then go back. This is a precious text in 2 Corinthians 12, 9. But what does it mean? That the power of Christ may rest upon us. What does the power of Christ mean? I give you a threefold answer. Number one, it is the power given to us to enable us to be submissive to the Father's will. In other words, to be submissive to the providence of God in our lives, even when that providence frowns upon us. Secondly, it is power to enable us to have joy in our circumstances. Remember, it does say in 1 Thessalonians 5, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Yes, power to enable us to have joy in a circumstance. And I know that's hard at times. But then thirdly, it is power. Power to enable us to rest in God as our refuge. Yes, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I believe David experienced this. Not only reliance in the Savior, but also, let's go back to Psalm 13, but also rejoicing in salvation. In Psalm 13, 5, the second part, 5b of the verse, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Here we have a joyful deliverance and a joyful declaration. Salvation in this text means deliverance. That is, the same God that delivered him from his sins and the grace of salvation is the same God that will deliver him from his trial. David now moves with great confidence, great hope, great assurance that his prayers were answered. And as he knew and experienced the mercy of God, again in his initial salvation, he now continues to experience the mercy of God in his trial. Therefore, he had a joyful deliverance. It means that he confessed with a joyful declaration, which all of us should do in giving praises and honor to God publicly when he delivers us in a trial. The blessing of giving a testimony about God's mercy in our lives. It reminds me of what it says there in Psalm 29, 1 and 2, when it says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. And then in verse 9 of Psalm 29, the voice of the Lord maketh hinds the calf and discovereth the forest. And the last phrase, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. Coming to church, giving a testimony of God, of his mercy and his deliverance. That is, give a joyful declaration of what he has done for my soul. And then lastly, quickly, verse 6, we have the praise of David. I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Yes, David went from sinking to singing. What a blessing. What a turnaround. What made the difference? God and God alone. But David used that grace God had given him, that faith, that trust, that reliance upon his Lord and Savior. And so David went from such a downtrodden, despair, from a downtrodden, despairing spirit to such a joyful, declaring spirit in the praising of his God. And he did it in such a willful delight from the heart and soul. I will sing unto the Lord. Thus, again, David's sorrow, David's pain, David's perturbation, David's pleading has been replaced by a song. In Psalm 57:7, it says, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. In Psalm 104:33, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Yes, when David took his eyes off his circumstances and problem, he fixed them upon God in his petition. And at that point, everything changed for him. His petition helped him to prevail. And may we also learn from this seasoned saint of God's. His call for help to God gave him the victory. We have all fallen in that trap of fixing our eyes on our problems instead of our God. And when we do feel that God has forsaken us or abandoned us, no. But we need to be reminded and do what David did. Fix our eyes upon God. Because when David finally fixed his eyes upon God, everything changed. And so now the big problem became small and his God became big. Not that God had lost any size or any of his sovereignty or omnipotence, but David now realized that God had been there all the time. And so by faith and reliance upon his God, he caught a glimpse of his holy God, and suddenly he prayed, he prevailed, and so now he begins to praise his God as a song bursts from his soul and says, I will sing unto the Lord. Yes, he did this with a willful delight. And then David concludes in the last phrase of verse 6, because he had dealt bountifully with me, the willful deliverance. In other words, God willfully, yea, bountifully delivered David. The word bountifully here basically means in this text, to do good unto me. And so David no doubt knew that God had graced him and had blessed him richly, that he cannot but break forth into a song of praise. Even when David's enemy longed to rejoice in his defeat, yet David rejoiced in the God of his salvation, knowing that God and that God alone had delivered him and delivered him in such a bountiful way. Therefore, my dear ones, if you find yourself today, this evening, going through a difficult trial, going through a frustrated time, or you feel that you're in some fearful despair, oh, my dear one, do what David did. Bring your feelings to God. Bring your broken heart to God. Bring your complaint to God. Tell God how you feel. He sees your heart. Might as well tell him. Confess your hurt, confess your pain, even your hopelessness, and then enter into that throne of grace with faith, with trust, reliance in the God of your salvation, knowing that we have a great high priest who will and does supply sympathy and strength for us in time of need. Again, because God knows what we're going through. Again, I would like to read there in Hebrews 4 as we conclude. It says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Paul is telling us that we have again a high priest who is able to sympathize with our infirmities and our weaknesses, because he himself had been tempted in all things, but again, yet without sin. And so, yes, we have a great Savior. We have a great sympathizer. And David relied upon this Savior. And therefore, we also can rely upon this glorious and loving Savior. And therefore, let us come, my dear one, to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. Because that's what it was all about. Obtain mercy. Obtain grace. that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And is that not what David said there again in Psalm 13:5? But I have trusted in thy mercy, because he came to the throne of God and obtained mercy and grace that he needed. And therefore, my dear ones, we must do the same thing as David. And may our great God deliver us from sinking and bring us to singing the praises of our great God. And so David again says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Let mine enemy say, I have prevailed against them, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But, I love the buts of the Bible, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he had dealt bountifully with me. Oh, my dear ones. Thank God for these precious psalms. Oh, God, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for not leaving us to ourselves, but being that great sympathizer and yet the one who gives us that strength when we need it. Help us, oh God. So many times our faith is so feeble, even at times when we say, I believe, but in reality we're no different than that man in the gospel when we say, I believe, oh God, help my unbelief. And so help us, Lord. Remind us to come boldly into that throne of grace so that we may attain that necessary mercy for our trials. And help us to find that grace to help in time of need, because we have a glorious Savior we can rely on, who is a great sympathizer and gives us that strength to help us along the way. And so, God, we ask these things in your blessed and holy name. Amen.